Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
Coming up, everybody deserves accessibility, and we've got some apps for everybody.
Plus, remote access, that's all the rage. How Facebook might infiltrate your work, and why the Apple Store isn't as secure as you think.
All that, and a completely new game involving dots.
Oh, no!
On iPad Today.
Yes!
iPad Today is brought to you by Lynda.com. Invest in yourself for 2015. Lynda.com has thousands of courses to help you learn new tech, business, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit lynda.com/iPad today. That's lynda.com/iPad today. And by MeUndies. MeUndies is the most comfortable and hip underwear you will ever wear. Check out all the styles and get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/twit. It's time for iPad Today. Hello, everybody. I'm Leo Laporte.
I'm Sarah Lane. Nice to see you.
Do I have to explain every time why my hair looks like this? Because I've started to get people messaging me saying, oh, my gosh, I hope you're all right.
Oh.
And in fact, no.
Because it wasn't clear that this was something that was part of our New Year's Eve special.
I shaved my head for New Year's Eve. We raised a lot of money for UNICEF. It's fine. It's growing back. You can see that.
Yeah. It looks actually the same as it did last week to me. But I know to you it probably seems longer. I probably shouldn't even have said such a thing. No, it looks good, but I like it. I think you should keep it. I think it looks awesome.
Somebody told me, I don't know if this is true, that human hair grows an eighth of an inch a week.
That makes sense because it's usually half an inch a month or so.
That's what it would be, half an inch a month.
So I go like to the salon every couple months.
But does this feel, this should be half, let's see, well, no, it's been 2 weeks, so it should be a quarter of an inch. That's about right.
Yeah, maybe a little less. You've got slow-growing hair, it seems.
I'm taking, like, all these hair growth things.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Steve Gibson said, take this thing called Ubiquilone or something like that. Uh-huh. That's a vitamin.
Steve Gibson is giving you hair advice?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's bald, isn't he?
Well.
I should not listen. Anyway.
Whatever.
It's the same, so... Whatever. Anyway.
I think it looks great.
Thank you.
It's
You're very generous.
It's winter Leo. It's like, you know, you came into the new year with your freak flag
flying.
If
there's snow on the roof, there's probably somebody chilly inside.
On the roof also.
Yes.
Right? Because if you're on the roof and it's snowing,
we
yikes!
We got a call on the radio show today from Iceland.
Oh, cool.
Isn't that cool?
Very. Although I would think that Iceland would be a little too cool this time of year.
Chilly.
Dark. Dark and very cold.
Well, yeah. I would think because of that, they're probably inside listening to podcasts.
Hopefully this one. Hello, Icelandic nation. Hey, so on the show today, we both heard about the same really, really cool app from different people. Bill actually sent it into our iPad today at twit.tv email address. This app called Be My Eyes.
Oh, this is so cool.
Which allows a blind person to be led through someone else's voice who can see what the blind person is seeing in front of them. So they're basically sharing their location with a remote person who has pre-agreed to help.
So we had a call on the radio show talk about it today,
okay,
too. This must have just come out. It's from Copenhagen, and it's a nonprofit that created it, the Be My Eyes Network. And the guy who called was blind, and he said, imagine, I'm in the grocery store. I can get into the grocery store. I can shop. I could buy a cassava melon. I can buy asparagus. But when I get to the milk section, I have a barcode reader on my phone. Smartphones are great for a lot of things. So he can use the barcode reader to tell him, oh, yeah, this is vitamin D, whole milk.
2%, whatever.
Right. But what it doesn't tell him is the expiration date. So he says, if I'm in the store, I can say, excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm blind. Can you tell me what the expiration date is? Or he can use this app, Be My Eyes, take a picture of it. And somebody who's sighted will get a notification, say, that expires 4 days from now, and he'll get that. And that is so cool. Now, I asked him, because it help you with money? Because dollar bills look the same as $5 bills in the United States. He said, no, there's a great app for that that's very reliable. So there are apps.
What, is it just like scanning the...
It scans the bill and it'll tell you that's a five. I signed up immediately. Be My Eyes. Now, it does want an iPhone because part of the sign-up is that they can call you. But you can also sign up to recognize pictures, and you can also say, can they hear me? Can I hear them?
Well, also, you can get phone call notifications on your iPad now.
And that's, I think, why it works on the iPad. So this is the iPad version. What's interesting is if you look at mine, I've already signed up.
Yeah.
What's interesting is there are 2,700 blind people on here right now. There are 31,100 sighted people who have offered to help blind people. And so far, 5,500 occasions to
help. And I just heard about this a couple days
ago. Brand
new.
Brand new. This was 26,000 when we did the radio show, so it's growing very, very quickly.
Well, probably in part because of the radio show.
Maybe I hope so. I hope because we talked about it on the show.
I'm sure that's
a few thousand people signed up. Yeah,
contributed in some way. Now, let me just play devil's advocate for a second because I'm afraid of everybody because people are terrible. Wouldn't this be, how are you going to vet the people that might lead somebody, maybe not even for nefarious reasons, but just not give good advice?
You think somebody would sign up and say, oh, that milk will last for a month?
I mean, I don't know.
That's terrible.
Well, like kids, there are people.
Do not prank people.
Never underestimate how.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Sad.
Well, it's just the first thing that comes to mind. Obviously, even if the company doesn't have a policy, clearly they've thought about this.
Well, there's got to be a way to block somebody if you get bad advice.
Yeah, but, you know, I would hate anybody to be taken advantage of.
That would be terrible.
I'm not trying to bring down, which is obviously a really cool idea.
Yeah.
It's just something to think about.
That would make me sad
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm sure there's a way if you get bad advice from somebody, you can block them and so forth. And, of course, there are risks, I suppose, if you would hold this up and say, is the street clear or whatever, and somebody says, no, go ahead and cross, that wouldn't be such a good thing. Maybe stick with things like, is this milk expired?
Yeah, like non-emergency type stuff. Yeah. Right.
I just love this idea. And you know what? Maybe I'm wrong, but I think people aren't horrible. And I think this is great. People are volunteering to be helpers, and I think it's just wonderful. What a great, easy way to help somebody. Take no time. Put it on your smartphone. It's iOS only right now, so iPhone or iPad, and save somebody from putting sour milk in their coffee.
You know, Doug B. in chat says, this app would be for friends of the blind person. Now, that's actually really interesting, because as I understand it, it's like you randomly get matched up somebody.
Yeah.
It should be directly peer-to-peer if you knew somebody's username, because you're right, Doug, that, if I don't actually have any friends that are blind, at least not in, I know very well. So.
They have a point system. So I think that there's some gaming in here, gamification, to make it incite you to do well. So if you helped somebody and they said, good, give them 10 points.
Well, and you can
like
also sign in via Facebook. So it may try to at least pull from your general network.
Although I didn't
whenever
do that.
Possible.
I just signed in with an email address. You don't have to use Facebook.
Well, but Facebook... It does have some. There are some good things about signing in with Facebook. This would be one of them.
Wow, you just depressed me. I got all excited about this. I thought this is wonderful.
No, I'm just saying.
People are horrible.
When new technology arises, that we're like, wow, this could really change somebody's life for the better. I think it's just important to remember that this is it's a very powerful tool.
So because of this, we're going to talk about today about accessibility applications.
Yeah.
It's very clear. I mean, I just mentioned two. One that takes pictures of money. And one that reads barcodes and speaks them out loud, that a smartphone or a smart tablet is a huge benefit for accessibility. One of the things that kind of shocks me a little bit, though, here's an app, for instance, called Verbally. And one of the things that shocks me, there's a free version of this. And the idea of Verbally is if you are unable to speak, maybe you're using a tap stick, this gives you a way to quickly speak. You've seen Stephen Hawking and the ability he has to speak by using something like this. This is a more general purpose. It has words. It has phrases. So I can say, hello. Let's speak it. Are you listening to my iPad?
Yeah, got it on.
Okay. So you might say,
I use this iPad for speech.
Or you could say,
please give me a moment.
Hello offers you names of people so you could have the names already pre-populated.
Hello, Ed.
I think this is just a really great idea. An issue for me, which is, like many accessibility programs, that's the free version. But if you want the premium version, which gives you better voice clarity, I know you're about to say, gosh, that sounds a little robotic.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, why did it have to sound that bad?
Lets you customize the phrases and does prediction, $100. And
yikes!
That's cheap for one of these programs. Programs like JAWS may cost hundreds and hundreds of, sometimes thousands of dollars.
What's shady about that is that they're artificially holding back, giving you a better voice and making you pay $100?
I understand this is a business and this company doesn't have to do charity. We're not saying they should do charity, but at the same time, I feel like, why are these accessibility programs so expensive? They really oughtn't to be. I think sometimes companies say, well, we're going to make them expensive. It's a limited market. We're not going to be able to sell very many. That may be true. Mm-hmm. And insurance will take care of it, or a nonprofit group, a charitable organization will take care of it. So it's okay. It seems like the standard for iPad apps, $99, is an extraordinarily expensive iPad app. And it just bugs me a little bit that they want $99 for that. And then, by the way, they're not alone. There's another app I would like to show you, but can't because it costs $99 and there's no demo version. This is a screen reader app.
Yeah, we now have the opportunity to embed little explainer videos, right, on an app. Like, if you're asking someone for $100, you really need to have that preview. Yeah. Like, how dare you not?
Yeah.
How dare you? You. Well, now I'm mad.
Yeah, it makes me angry.
Well, this is a very depressing show.
And I may not. It may be. And you know what? If you're blind or you use other expensive accessibility programs for other reasons, and there's a good reason why they should be so expensive, or maybe you make these programs and there's a good reason, let us know. We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
But it always galls me a little bit that it's so darn expensive. And I talk to people on the radio show all the time who they need programs that cost them thousands of dollars. And they're living on disability. I don't know how they do it. I guess maybe taxpayer money. I don't know.
Well, maybe because some of the more, you know, the historical legacy solutions were in the thousands of dollars.
Always traditional.
So something like $99 right. is like, hey, you're getting a deal. But without being able to know much about whether it's junk or not, and there is a lot of junk
you
out
do
there.
You do at least need that.
Barrier to entry, huge one.
I do like there's a movement among open sourcers to create open source versions of this. For instance, there's a screen reader to compete with the very expensive proprietary JAWS called Orca. It's an open source free version that's being created by open source authors donating their time. So maybe that's the solution. I mean, if it bugs you, then maybe we should find open source solutions for these things. But when you're on the iPad, you're not going to see it. Do you have one you want to share?
So this is, it can be an accessibility app because it is a game that you control completely through audio. So if you are visually impaired, this would be the game for you because having eyes is not a reward.
So you don't have to look at it. All right, let me try playing. Go ahead. I've got my eyes closed.
Okay.
What happens? Seems like you're going to need to look to do it.
Wait, I'm not sure I can hear the audio.
I hear it. Wow.
You do?
Wow. Yeah. You don't hear that?
No.
I do.
I don't. Really?
We hear that.
Really?
Those of us who are listening, are you plugged into the headphone jack?
Yeah.
Well, we're hearing it.
Oh. Yeah, okay. Mine was just turned down a little
yeah.
bit.
Turn it up.
Turn it up, man.
What's going on? I'm scared.
Well, I was hoping. Okay.
Nothing, apparently.
Well, hold on a second.
Do you know how to play this game?
No, because I thought we were going to play it together.
Start game.
Because I was going to have you explain it to me. Okay, hold on now.
Because you're not good at games?
Well, it's not that.
You have to tilt it left or right.
Yeah. God, I'm such an idiot.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Oh, and now, okay, close your eyes.
Sorry.
Now you're going to have to play this using the Force, Luke.
Well, I mean, can't I just play?
Use your Force, Luke. So you're going to hear where you are. See? Listen.
Oh, yeah. Neat.
See, it's also stereo, which you're not getting because you only have one earpiece.
So what I want to do is
you
just
really can't
avoid
play
this stuff.
You need stereo headphones to play this. You're never going to be able to play this.
Well, not with my eyes closed, but like no one listening to the show would be able to hear it this way.
But you're
anyway.
Not hearing what's going on in your left ear.
Oh. But no, but well, obviously it was just in the left channel, though. I'm understanding what's going on here. I'm not sure if you are or not. Why is it going so slow, though?
Because
it's
tutorial.
It's still explaining to me?
Yeah.
All right. Come on now. Yep, level one. Let's do this thing.
So you don't hear it going back and forth from left ear to right ear because you only have one ear.
Exactly.
But you're hearing everything?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Now I am. So now I would think it would... Oh, I see. Now it's... Oh, okay. So this is still me avoiding that stuff because it's getting darker and darker. Get
it? So you could watch Game of Thrones and play this game.
Yeah. That's super weird.
This is... Now it's dark.
Exactly. Now I'm
now
really
screwed. Now you really
can't. I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So there's no reason to... Just show her playing this because there's no reason to look at the screen. There's nothing to see.
Well, you can kind of still see it.
It's going to get worse, I think.
It's fading very slowly.
I'm going to have to try this.
This is very interesting. You know, actually in the developer notes, they explained that you can... I think they call it like light of day mode or something like that.
But,
high noon
but
mode.
But you'd want to play it this
but
way.
But it won't... Like if you're good at it, it won't connect to Game Center. Like
this
you don't
get
like props.
This is like sonar.
Yeah. For not
faster
using
equals
this.
Darker,
this
so the lighter things are slower.
Echo, by the way, ECHO.
This is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So, I mean, it's like this game is for everybody, but hey, I would think
you'd have an advantage.
Yes, exactly. Like you'd be like, you know, you're always running the marathon and winning. You're the fastest one. Oh, okay, now I really can't see anything, and neither can any of you.
You know, one area that I'm very disabled
though.
In.
What?
Foreign languages.
Yeah,
speaking.
I try, but I'm pretty bad at it.
So this would be a good time to mention the new Google Translate on iOS.
Yes, it
They've
would.
Updated it. And let me just see if I can fire this up here. Google Translate's always been cool. The idea is you can get automated translations of stuff. Now they've added a few new features. On iOS, you have a new camera. This is because Google bought the company WordLens. Remember WordLens? You
sure
would take
do.
A picture of a sign. And
it would, in real time, convert it.
Convert it.
Because it could read, as long as the text or numbers were blocky enough.
So
I guess the numbers you don't really need to.
The live camera will work with French, German, Italian, Portuguese, Russian, Spanish, and English. Back and forth from any of those languages. There are 36 more languages if you take a photo and let it process it. But this is the thing that's most interesting to me. It's too bad you don't speak French.
Oh, au contraire.
Okay, let's try it. Let's try it.
You guys, oh, I hate it.
How good is your French?
Not good.
So this is the demo is not going to work great, but can you show over the shoulder? I just want to show what people see. So if you tap the microphone, you can start speaking in another language. Oh, that's going to give me a little... thing. So you'll hear the translation out loud. So I can say, I'd like to have a croissant for breakfast, please.
Mm-hmm.
And it will translate it into French. But then what's wild is then I could say, keep listening. And what I do is I rotate the screen for each speaker. So let's try. And by the way, it also automatically understands what language you're speaking in. Hello, I would like a croissant for breakfast.
Hola, me gustaría un croissant para el desayuno.
Now, if you speak in Spanish, it'll translate it back to me.
So you spoke, yeah, okay.
Sí, señor.
Usted habla en español.
Sí, señor. Me gusta.
Yes, sir, I like.
Oh, my gosh. Who's going
and
to
while
Spain
I'm
in
here,
the next week? So
could you tell me where... The restrooms are.
Ya que estoy aquí, ¿podría usted decirme dónde están los baños?
That's right.
Sí. Más.
Cerveza.
If more.
If we had.
Oh, God.
If we had international speaker of another language.
You can't say foreign anymore?
No, foreign's not okay.
Oh.
Foreign implies.
Thank gosh I didn't offend a bunch of people later tonight.
No, not allowed.
Okay.
Are you a foreigner? But you see how cool this is? And it's in real time. So you don't have to press a button or anything.
You know.
In fact, I don't think you even have to do this.
I had, as. as you know, yeah. earlier this year, yeah. I had a little, you know, like, long-distance texting friend who only spoke French.
Perfect.
So I had to do a lot of Google Translate, which was actually really
Let's
fun.
Try it.
And you learn something in the process. But in real life, we actually maybe could have been something.
Camine derecho y tome una izquierda.
So you want to go left
Eve
or right?
Online. I don't know.
Representante de la otra dirección comunidad lingüística cuando es.
So clearly my Spanish sucks, but there you go.
Well, but that.
But this is the Babelfish. This is what was in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
It's,
the idea
yeah.
of simultaneous automatic translation. It is mind-boggling.
It's mind-boggling, and it's like, yeah, this is coming across a little clunkily. But
because I'm a clunk.
But like, this is just the first time we've ever had something like this. It's going to get amazing. But we still should learn new languages. I'm afraid people won't. It'll be like when, you know, everybody
had... We don't
have
to learn new languages anymore.
Well, see, and when everyone got Google Maps, now nobody knows where they are.
Only Google has to speak Spanish from now on.
Well, you know what? I like to know my own city. Google Maps. You're a nice crutch, but some people just too many maps. So still stay in your Spanish class. You're going to need that never.
Somebody's got to write this application.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Anyway, I think that is. Now, I think that would also have some application. I don't know why.
Well, you know what? If you're in a country and you don't speak the language, that is some inaccessibility right there.
That's inaccessibility.
So, yeah. You know, I would like to have accessibility to know where the bathrooms are, sir,
and
at the pyramids.
I do believe, although we tried it with Jeff Jarvis and he spoke in German and it really worked.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that it's gotten better. Like, it's more idiomatic. It understands me better. It understands them better. It translates it in a way that's a little more natural. I feel like we're making amazing progress. So that's Google Translate. It's free, and it's on iOS and Android and pretty much everything. And it's just not Windows Phone because Google doesn't like Windows Phone.
So we've got actually a pretty good roundup considering that I'm always afraid of the theme of accessibility. We've done it on the show before, but not recently.
Well, we're not experts.
Exactly, because it's like I hate to give advice to somebody who could really, really use some of these apps without... What are you doing?
I can turn off my sound now.
What are you doing?
Nothing. I just thought I'd play a little game.
Play a little game.
Nothing.
Interesting. I thought you were hanging on my every word.
I am hanging on your every word. Continue.
Anyway, we've got a good bunch of links. We've got Be My Eyes, where you can help people who need visual help. You've got Verbally. Which you showed off, which is a little too expensive,
yeah.
but hey, it's there. You got Echo, which is the extremely bizarre hearing audio game that I'm not really good at. And then, of course, Google Translate, which, as Leo mentioned, is just sort of mind-blowing. And we are living in the future, and Mars is probably right around the corner. But if there are any apps that you want to pass along to a friend, have the links to, we've got all the iTunes links in our show notes at twit.tv/IPT.
You know, 1 week gone and you forgot it all.
You go get a new job, and now...
You almost said techcrunch.com/.
I did.
Did you really?
I almost did.
Wow.
Yeah, you've
been there
how many,
1 week now.
You don't know how many times I've said or typed the word TechCrunch in this particular week.
As a result,
right?
Because
I'm making I'm making mountains move,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So, whoo. Anyway, iPadToday@twit.tv is the place that you can email us to give us more ideas. Inevitably, there will be a bunch of stuff come into our email box of accessibility apps that we should have covered and we should think about for the next time around. So thanks in advance.
Please
everybody.
Do send those. We would really appreciate it. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm learning right now how to create distressed and vintage photo effects with Photoshop. Don't you wish you could?
Well,
you could at lynda.com.
Oh.
Oh.
Because I was going to say, you know, I never took that in school. That's just a skill I don't have. It's too bad.
I know.
I'd love to know.
It's not often. I mean, it's often the case when you get to technology, you go, oh, if I only knew. Photoshop's a very good example. If I only knew Photoshop, I could take that guy and give him a dolphin head. And it would be so much fun. Or, you know, make the like David Prager's 38 today, make a card with the Grim Reaper chopping off David's head. That would be cool.
I'd be like, see, that's it.
Or take a picture of David and distress it and turn it into a vintage photo with Lynda.com.
Yeah.
Lynda is fabulous. I'm actually using the iPad app. That's one of the neat things about Lynda. There are literally thousands of courses, 4,500 on topics like web development, photography, visual design, and business. Soft skills like negotiation in business, creating a resume. Serious software training like Excel, WordPress, and Photoshop. These will make you better at work. They may be better at your hobby. I love the idea of learning how to do these distressed photos in Photoshop or Lightroom and creating, taking my photo. Show this. Show my screen. It's so cool. Oh, now you show it. Taking a photo and making it an old photo. It is so cool. This is Sean Duggan who is teaching this, and he's got a nice Irish accent too.
Well, all the folks at Lynda are like, they're pros.
Well, that's the thing. They both, you know, like really adept at this. Like Burt Monroy teaching you Photoshop, there's nobody better.
Right.
But at the same time, they're really good teachers. They're communicators. So courses taught by experts, always interesting. This was just added. There are new classes every week. So whether you want to improve your job skills, to ask your boss for a raise, to make yourself more marketable for a new job, or just looking to explore a new hobby, set financial goals, or find better work-life balance, Lynda.com is for you. I am just a big fan. I want you to try it right now. In fact, we've arranged kind of a special deal for you right now. You're going to get unlimited access to every course on Lynda.com, including access on iOS and Android devices, plus the new courses as they come out. Free for 10 days. 10 days. These are just some of them. This is if you can go on audio and music. Cleaning, if you're a podcaster, cleaning and repairing audio with Audacity. Up and running with Reason. That's something my son would be very interested in. Getting started in the business of songwriting. Using Ableton Live or Logic Pro 10. This is awesome. Songwriting and Logic Pro. See, Henry is going to love this. Lynda.com. I want you to try it right now. Sign up for that free 10-day trial. All you have to do is go to lynda.com/iPad today. lynda.com/iPad today. How to write songs. And the thing is, they're going to show you how to do it in Logic Pro, which is that great software. I love this. lynda.com/iPad today. Free for 10 days. Go ahead. I challenge you. Learn something new in 2015.
Yeah, and you don't have to go to a classroom and be like, I don't know what I'm doing, and feel like,
Well, Henry asked me,
you can do it on your own speed.
Is there somebody you can hire to show me how to hook all this stuff up and stuff? And I went over to a local music store. They said, no, we don't have anybody. Maybe try down the street. And then I suddenly realized, wait a minute. I'll just give him a Lynda.com subscription, and anything he's in the mood to learn, he can. A lot of stuff on what he's interested in, which is Logic Pro 10. But then, you know, making beats in Logic Pro 10. I mean, this is what Henry does all the time. And there's a course, choosing the drum kit, rehearsing the beat, understanding logic regions and quantizing, creating easy drum fills using MIDI and time compression. I mean, awesome.
I mean, awesome.
Awesome.
So before the show, I asked if you had been playing around with Parallels Access, because I know that you're a Parallels user.
Yeah.
But you were not aware that there was an iOS app that, for anybody who's familiar with Parallels, it's like you can remote access between devices.
So basically, if I have Parallels running on my Mac at home,
right,
or on Windows at home, frankly, for that matter, I can access it on my iPad.
That's correct.
Now, it's not the only remote access solution, but if you are using Parallels, this is something you'd be interested in, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. File Manager has been added as well. But yeah, it's kind of weird because, okay, so there's Parallels Access. I believe, let's see, do I have it open here? Yeah, I do. It is free. And
I just downloaded it. I didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
But you have to have Parallels at home on your desktop.
Yeah, you did it.
That's not free.
You need it to be in
that's
at least two places.
It's like $80.
Then you can view or copy files from Dropbox, Google Drive,
right.
Open files from other apps.
You know,
on
stuff
iOS
like
devices.
This. And we've seen there are lots of ways to do this. You know, TeamViewer and GoToMeeting, LogMeIn. There's a lot of choices that do this. There's a lot of remote access programs. It's kind of cool though when you do this because then suddenly. You can do so much more with your iPad. It's a desktop operating system.
And if you already use Parallels, then it just makes sense,
yeah.
Right? It's just an extension.
Right.
Parallels has been around, gosh, how long now? A long time.
Well, they're version 10. So I remember seeing it for the first time at Macworld Expo probably 15 years ago.
Wow.
It's been a long time.
Parallels. Going to the iPad and iPhone as well. Speaking of remote access.
There is a subscription cost. The app is free, but you're going to pay a monthly fee.
Yeah. But if you already had Parallels, well, if you, I was going to say you would already know that, but maybe you'd be looking at it for the first time.
Maybe you don't.
Google has launched Google Chrome Remote Desktop for iOS.
Again. Cool.
I know. What in the heck?
So this allows you, if you have a Chromebook or any Chrome OS device, I guess Chromebox as well, to access that from your iPad.
Although, can I just do a little Ask Leo for a second?
Sure.
Because when I was at home, I run Chrome on everything. When I was at home, I couldn't figure out how to get anything recognized because when I open up the Chrome Remote Desktop, it says I haven't registered any computers. And then when you say, learn how to set up a computer for remote access, it says, just sign into the app. And I did.
I may be wrong, but I think you need a Chrome OS. Do you have Chrome OS at home?
Oh, it can only work on Chrome OS?
I think it's
OS?
For a Chromebook. Okay. Oh, no, they say Windows and OS 10. Okay, I'm going to have to download this now and take a look at it.
So, I have all sorts of test computers at my house. So, what am I doing wrong? Because I wanted to do that.
Securely access your computers from an iOS device.
Right.
But you have to get the Chrome Remote Desktop app on your Chrome browser.
Okay.
On the target computer.
Got it.
It's an extension.
I see. So I only was halfway through, and that's why they... I will say that the help area of this app does not explain that well.
You're supposed to know.
Well, you know what?
You're just supposed to know.
Wouldn't that be nice? Sorry. It just doesn't work that way.
Now I'm wishing I had an iPad Air 2 because I changed my password on the App Store. I'm going to download this app. And now I have to enter a very long password and remember it. And if I just had fingerprint access, I just go...
Well, today is full of disappointments.
It is.
You know what I started thinking, though. So, okay, we've got Google launching Chrome Remote Desktop for iOS.
Yes.
And, a Chromebook, perfect place, right? That would be a perfect way to work with this. Google is also rolling out the Classroom mobile app for students and teachers.
That's cool, too.
I assume
it?
You guys probably talked about that on this
weekend.
Really Google.
Cool. Yeah.
So, and Google has already done such a push with trying to get as many Chromebooks into schools because they're cheap, and for most classrooms, they would provide, you don't need a lot of onboard storage anymore for students, really just, it's tools and internet access. And so it makes a lot of sense to me that once you've got the hardware sitting in front of every kid, slowly but surely, now you've got classroom apps, and now you're dependent on Google for everything, and they got to the kids, which is pretty smart. As long as you like Google, anyway, because that's what's teaching your child.
What Google's doing is they're competing. There's some other good solutions out there, both commercial and open source. There's Blackboard, open source project, Moodle. And so Google's decided to I suspect, go into competition against them. They seem to be similar in functionality. But so many schools now are using Chromebooks. You saw that 21%, what was that, 21% market share for Chromebooks last year in school purchases is amazing, higher than Macs even.
I have to say, as much as there's also quite an iPad push. We've talked about the LA system. That one didn't work out that well, but iPads are widely used in schools. But as far as being able to replace something, I mean, they're kids, right? Kids are going to break things.
Right.
That's what kids do best.
Right. So make them break something cheap.
Yeah. It just makes sense, right? You're not going to give them fine china in the cafeteria. That doesn't make a lot of sense. Apple doesn't really do the cheap route. So I don't know. I'm getting at something here. And I mean that soon you will have a Google robot as your PE teacher. That's the eventual conclusion of this. On the complete flip side, have you played around at all with Facebook, launching Facebook at work? Probably not, because you aren't one of the partners.
You have to be in a beta. Yeah. I love this idea, though. I think it's very interesting.
I actually do, too.
Yeah.
And I wonder, though, how many enterprise-level companies are going to adopt something like Facebook when you've got – collaboration tools like Slack. That's really popular right now. Right. At TechCrunch, we're using Convo, which is, I'm still getting my head around it, but it's a
Use HipChat here.
You do?
Yeah.
Nobody ever HipChatted me.
Oh, well.
I guess.
You left just in time.
I suppose that's true.
We've been using it for the web design team, and we liked it so much. Engineering team's using it now. Sales is using it. I was about to start a HipChat group for hosts, but you're not going to be in it.
Well, I'm still a host.
Oh, yeah, you are. Okay, you can be I think these are interesting ideas because the problem is the email is kind of static, and you have to send it, and then it's somebody receives it and then responds to it. It doesn't flow. Whereas these programs let you kind of, I don't know, have you started using Convo? You said you were using Skype a lot.
Yeah, today. It's weird. I've got a whole new set of tools. It's actually great for somebody who likes apps for sort of like one-on-one conversations, although sometimes group chatting, and we're using Skype, just the texting version of it. And then Convo is more like you're collaborating within a team. We have all these silos. It's a lot of people to keep track of, man. But yes, between Skype and Convo, That's pretty much it.
It flows because, my experience is with HipChat, but that's nice because it's like email. You can be asynchronous, and it does save your history because that's one of the things people love about email is I can go back and see what we agreed to and so forth. But it also has the real-time kind of flow of an instant messenger, which is kind of nice. And by the way, many of these solutions, I don't know about Convo, have remote desktop, so you can share desktops. Video calling. That's why I guess you guys use Skype. So
yeah,
You're chatting, and then you go, call me, and you can see each other and talk.
Well, I can open Convo, but no, as far as I know,
Thera's using Skype.
It's discussion-based, not video-based. Yeah, no, it doesn't have...
Sounds like they wouldn't have... So you should get HipChat.
Well, that's the last... I don't need yet another.
Oh, you can't convince them to, see? That's
This is actually a really good theme for whenever, is sort of collaborative... work-based tools that don't have to be used at your work, but stuff that's appropriate for work. Convo, I just started using that 5 days ago.
Right.
You're talking about HipChat, which I have no experience with at all. I've heard of it, but no. Facebook is in the beginning stages of launching Facebook at work. I just wonder how much Facebook kind of has that stigma of being like, where your grandma, you know, I just don't know how many companies will say this seems like the right solution for us because it's sort of tied to such a personal thing.
I think that's why, because I'm still setting up this remote desktop. It requires all sorts of crazy. I had to download stuff. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. You're good at multitasking.
I am. The Facebook makes sense. And we've talked about this on on This Week in Google and on Twit. Because it's like bringing your own device. Remember, people brought their iPhones into the enterprise and their iPads, and then all of a sudden, everybody's using them. And the business has to finally say, all right, I guess we'll let you use iPhones instead of that BlackBerry. I guess we'll let you use your iPad instead of that Windows desktop.
Right.
So they call that trend BYOD. I think Mark Zuckerberg said, well, does it have to only be hardware? Couldn't it be bring your own software? Everybody's used to Facebook. Everybody uses Facebook, already know how to use it. What if we made a version of Facebook? In fact, they've been using it at Facebook internally for, they said, 10 years. Long time, 10 years, I think they said. What if we had a version of Facebook just for a business that would solve the qualms a business might have about using the real Facebook? You don't want to mix your personal life with your business life. Hey, you should see, I got really drunk last night. You wouldn't want to put that on your business.
Or on Facebook ever, but that's another conversation.
But if you had Facebook for business, people would already know how to use it. They'd be comfortable with it. They may even like it because they already use Facebook so much. They're, you know, I like this. This is good. But it has all the features you'd need for a business. You have the instant messaging. You have the news feed, pictures and sharing and stuff. It kind of makes sense to me. In fact, I kind of want to do it here. But we're not on that list.
I've never had an issue. Well, that's not true. I have plenty of issues with Facebook, but most of it is just like bad things that people share. But I love Facebook Messenger. I use it all the time. I think it's a great tool. I don't care that Facebook made it, even if I was a person that disliked the Facebook experience in general. So, yeah, I will be interested to see what kind of companies want to go with this, considering that there really are a lot of other solutions, some that are extremely robust and work really well.
So you do have to have a background program running on your Mac,
this is
your
for
Windows machine.
Remote,
this is the Chrome remote desktop. All of this is free, though, which is kind of nice. It runs in the background all the time. As you can see, I have it running now on my Mac. And the reason you can see it is because you can also see my Mac on this iPad. Is that wild or what?
You're looking at some Twitter, I see.
I am looking at the Twitter.
Uh-huh.
But if I change what's, I can change what I'm looking at on my Mac, and that'll, now I'm looking at the chat room. This is my iPad.
Yeah, but you're... But...
And I can type. Pull up the keyboard.
See, that's awesome.
Guys.
To have,
so I am now... I just chatted in chat from my iPad, but it really, it's not from my iPad. It went to my laptop, yeah, which I have
chat
here.
Room window doesn't exist on your iPad.
Right.
It's virtual touching. I love it.
I'm going to keep this.
So
now,
right.
you do have to install a Chrome plugin plus... Which is, by the way, doesn't look like it comes from Google, which was one of the things that slowed me down. It comes from some other enterprise. I'm not sure. I guess it is Google, but it's a little weird. It comes from, I'll see if I can find this for you, Chromoting Release Managers.
What? Chromoting? Chromoting?
Look it. See?
Like,
you could, actually,
like
this
remoting?
Is cool. You can see it here on my iPad.
Do we just coin a term
we
here?
We made something up here.
Chromote?
Look at you can even promoting.
How about that?
Release
yeah.
managers. What is that?
Hey, can you help me with my computer?
Anyway, but apparently
I'll just
that is
you.
This is the Chrome Remote Desktop from Google. It should say from Google, if you ask me. I don't understand that. But you'll download that extension, and then it gets you started and says, okay, but now you have to download this other software. You can't let your computer go to sleep while it's happening because then it'll stop working. So there are some limitations. But hey, it's free, and I can use Pinch and Zoom from my iPad. That is so weird.
That is so cool.
On my desktop. I wish I could do...
That
oh,
sick.
Do I need my mouse? I can't. I wish I could do that. I'm not sure why. It's kind of strange. Look at that. Your desktop is currently shared. I wonder if I could stop sharing with myself. No.
No. You'll share forever, sir.
I don't know what's going on. Huh? And then I just turned myself off.
Well, you know, everybody needs to take a little break
Is
sometimes.
That wild?
Sit the next play out, Jane.
All right. Now we know how to use it. We just did it.
You just did.
Never
hey,
did it before.
You know what I've always done?
Yeah?
This is going to be great. I've always worn underwear.
Let me just check. I just want to see if I'm wearing some
sometimes
right now.
Sometimes you don't remember, right? Did I put on underwear?
Did I put on underwear? Oh, yeah. I'm wearing me undies. Whoa. Those are bright.
I don't want to look. I'm just going to look up.
Before we went on the air, I showed the chat room.
Oh, okay.
So chat room, right? I'm wearing me undies. Actually, Lisa and I are wearing matching me undies.
Well, that is a little too much information, but cute.
It's a little saccharine, I know.
Sure.
You need to know about MeUndies. MeUndies.com. MeUndies. Those are MeUndies.
Yeah.
.com. Did you know we spend 90% of our life in underwear?
Yeah.
Maybe not you.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah.
Maybe not the nudists out there, but pretty much everybody else is always wearing underwear.
With MeUndies, you get great fitting underwear that, and I can vouch for this, 2 times softer than cotton. It is literally the most comfortable underwear I've ever worn. Plus, jazzy Jeff. It's so stylish. I'm wearing... You got these, too.
Who's Jazzy Jeff?
Wasn't he...
DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh
Jazzy
Prince?
DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, yeah.
Okay.
This is the kind of underwear he'd wear.
I wasn't aware you knew him that
I know
well.
Him very well.
Okay.
Didn't you... I think I saw your MeUndies purchase. Get the black... the red underwear with the black zigzags?
Correct.
That's what I'm wearing.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Probably should keep my pants
yeah,
on.
I mean, we're getting so close.
That's a little too...
You know, I have the woman version of those, and it's
oh,
the
look at
style
that. You
that's
get
on the right.
I
the
like that.
The left
lace,
is, you know
the
what
lace
that is.
Thong?
The lace thong is...
Or the women's brief.
But the brief
yeah,
on the right.
Those are
like,
cute.
It's great if you just, you know, like, it's like pajamas.
And it's for guys and gals. You can, yes, if you're really, you know, crazy, get matching underwear with your honey. They have all sorts of fun ones. Polka dots, plaids, funky pinstripes, dozens of colors. There are lots of photos. If you go to MeUndies.com/twit, normally you'd pay twice as much at retail for the quality we're going to get because they're selling direct to you. You save money. They're made from an incredibly soft fabric. I thought it was cotton. It is not cotton. It's something called modal.
Oh, yeah. You told me about this.
It's sourced from beechwood trees in the Austrian Alps.
My goodness.
You're wearing a beechwood tree on your butt.
You're basically wearing a St. Bernard and a horn.
I can just feel my underwear.
I don't want to do that.
I'm telling you, it's so soft.
I have my own. Remember, MeUndies.
Right there. See?
Okay.
Just feel that.
That's right. There it is. They're out. They're officially out. We have exited the belt.
They're very environmentally conscious at MeUndies. They use a CO2 carbon dioxide neutral process, so they have a low carbon footprint, saves water and energy due to their spun-dyed fiber process. They fit perfectly, and I'll vouch for that. They really are comfortable. They pull moisture away from your skin, so you stay cool.
That's good.
Have you ever worn Modal before? I don't know if it's Modal.
If I have, I didn't know it because I'm hearing about this for the first time.
Yeah, no, I've seen clothes made out of it. It's a really great. It's a natural fiber. It's just not cotton, and it's so soft. I just love it. Get yourself some nice underwear. All right.
And not only that, but any woman will tell you going to the intimates section at a department store is the worst.
Is it?
It's the worst.
Yeah.
Just save yourself some grief.
Look at guys. It's got everything you need.
It's always a mess in there.
It's always a mess. Guys don't go. What do guys do when they shop for underwear?
There's just piles of underwear.
It's different for men. I mean,
the women are always really.
I'll take. I usually buy my underwear like 8 packs. A dozen of them.
That would be like $1 million if you're a woman.
Yeah,
like
see,
8 pairs of nice underwear.
Right, no.
That would be a lot of money.
Not at MeUndies. Get yourself some good underwear. MeUndies.com. And by the way, you'll get 20% off and free shipping on your first order.
Whee!
Now how much would you pay?
Whee!
Save even more when you buy a pack. They guarantee you'll be happy or your first pair is free. 20% off, but you have to go to MeUndies, MeUndies.com/twit. They laughed when I said, you know what? I want to do ads
about
for
underwear.
MeUndies on Twit.
Uh-huh.
And
I think you have more fun with that name than anyone else.
MeUndies.
He loves it.
MeUndies. Get MeUndies, baby.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we got an email from Brian, and the reason that I wanted to read this email is because I know that you were playing around with an app possibly for your app cap earlier and said, this is for a younger set. Brian says, before the new year, I purchased Monument Valley, the game. Leo showed it off. I've really enjoyed it. My 7-year-old son watched me play it. When I completed the game, he wanted to try, and he loves it. I'm amazed at how he can solve these puzzles. He did need my help from time to time. Do you have any other suggestions of games that might be similar? I've seen Room, but it looks a little dark for a 7-year-old. I'm looking for something that might appeal to that
By the way, the Room is really good, and there's, I think, 2 versions now. I don't think it's dark. It's a puzzle game. When we were kids, we played Myst. It's mm-hmm. no darker than Myst. It's like Myst.
But I think maybe it could be seen as sort of like sinister
visually. Just, well, maybe. There are lots of great puzzle games out there, though.
Yeah.
None of them leap to mind right now. Chat Room, what's your favorite puzzle game? Mm. You know, I actually would like to know this because Lisa loved Monument Valley, and a lot of people who love it complain, as she did, it's quick. You get through it pretty quickly.
Yeah, right.
And I have some stats for you in a second because the folks who did Monument Valley actually have some numbers.
That's right. They were very upfront about how much money they were taking in, weren't they?
So Myst is available on the iPad. You can get text adventures. Now, a 7-year-old may or may not be old enough for things like Zork, but boy, they're fun, and it depends how verbal your 7-year-old is, and if he or she can type, things like that. But I agree, there are a lot of great. Zork was an Infocom game, and if you search for Infocom, you'll see you can download an Infocom game reader that will read not only Zork but a million different text adventures. Some of them brand new, written by people who love this. Medium, a text adventure. There's no graphics. It's like a novel. You read a description, and then it says, "What would you like to do?" And you can, and it's kind of a free form thing. You could say, "Turn left, turn right, go down, explore that room, kill the dwarf." There's lots of different things. I love text adventures. Yes, they started with, as Dr. Morbius in our chat room says, "You are standing by a mailbox in front of a White House," and then you have to decide what to do next. Do you explore? Do you open the mailbox? Do you explore the house?
Yeah.
Do you go down the road? What are some other great puzzle games? There were some good physics games early on in the iPad, weren't there?
What is the one that sort of that cute little robot who's ours?
Is that the one where he's wandering? Broken Age you're talking about? By the way, this is a great game for a seven-year-old. I highly recommend it. This was an interesting Kickstarter project. And while I think Sarah and I really didn't get it, I think kids really love this game. In fact, I know because I watched Michael, our 12-year-old, play it, and he adores it and got right to the end of it and thought it was wonderful. So, and this is not dark. This is fun.
Yeah.
There's a little darkness, but any good game has to have a little bit of
darkness. I mean, it looks more like Disney than that.
Yeah, they're characters. You have to wander around. You have to solve puzzles. I'll be honest, there is nothing like Monument Valley. I mean, that one of the reasons it was the game of the year 2014 is because it was unique. It was a wonderful game. So this is another one to look at, Broken Age. There's a great story behind Broken Age, by the way. Let me just look around and see what I have. Because I love, as you know, I love puzzle games. I play a lot of puzzle games.
Still trying to remember what that game was.
You mean, really, isn't that Angry Birds, isn't that a puzzle game in some ways?
Physics game. I really wouldn't call it a puzzle game.
Here's another game I love that'd also be great for a seven-year-old. We know that because Brian Burnett, our technical director, played a lot of this. It's Leo's Fortune. And
Machinarium.
Machinarium is a great game.
That was what I was thinking of, Becky, in chat. Thank you. I would not have remembered that, not without looking it up.
Leo's Fortune is good, and actually the game Brian played, which is very similar, is called, what, Sorcerers? Mickey Mouse Sorcerers?
I used to be Leopold.
Oh, that's right. Leopold. We should start calling you Leopold Laporte.
Would you?
That would
please?
Be cool.
Here's a game, as long as we're talking puzzle games.
It's almost the same
games,
word.
We should have done a whole show answering this question.
Yeah.
Bleck.
Bleck.
Love Bleck.
I forget which one. Oh, yeah.
B-L-E-K.
This is definitely puzzle.
Now, the problem with this one, I'm you draw a line, and it will continue how you've drawn it. The idea is you're trying to get these blue ones knocked out with one line. It is very challenging. I'm actually at like level 30 or something.
Yeah, that's way harder than the one that I could get.
This is the one I'm stuck on. I'm 44.
Well, that's... best of luck.
So let me
It's cool, though.
Let me go down.
It's like being in a corn maze, cornfield maze.
You like dot games.
Love them.
So what do we do to get all these? Well, that one's pretty easy. Just do that. Whoops.
And just go right past them.
You go right past them. There we go. You get points for doing it in one shot. Now, the black one will suck you in. So if you draw it to the black one, it'll get it. Whoops.
Leo.
You won't do that. So you got to do something like this. I don't know. Whoops. Do it a little farther out. Choo. It also has great sound.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? A seven-year-old would be really good at this and really love it. And it's... Actually, I think you learn from it.
I think you just need to draw around the first blue one. No, that's too much. My gosh, you're making this hard. You're really good. Oh my gosh. Is this going to work? Yeah, and it goes on forever, right?
It can.
That's the...
Oh. Highly recommend.
That's too frustrating for me.
B-L-E-K, one of the great games. Machinarium, excellent.
Yeah, I really liked that game. So, Brian, hopefully we've given your son some great ideas. And tell us what sticks, what he likes.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the Monument Valley story?
Let's do it.
It was so cool that they gave these numbers out. And I think anybody who's intrigued by this or played this game or perhaps wants to consider a career doing iOS app development, this is fascinating. So they made it for iOS first, but they eventually made an Android version. They sold 1.7. And by the way, this was not a freemium game. You paid for the game. There is a second level that you buy. But essentially, the revenue all comes from the first purchase. Sold 1.7 million on iOS, 296,000 on Google, 92,000 on Amazon. And Amazon gave it away for free. Remember, they do the free app of the day, and that was a 407,000 game day. But you might note that there's 2.4 million official sales, but they know that it's been installed on more than 10 million unique devices. There's some of that is piracy. Some of it is family sharing or multiple devices. I have it installed on several devices. Of the 2 million who bought it, only 500,000 upgraded, bought the second version. They made $5.8 million. Now, the cost is interesting. It was almost $500,000 in almost a year of development. The biggest day, the launch day. That makes sense. They made $145,000 in launch day. And you could see where the peaks were, where they got Apple Awards, or we mentioned them on iPad Today. The peaks all have to do with some sort of promotional event.
Yeah, or Christmas.
Event.
That's
Christmas,
another peak.
But the cost to make $852,000 in the first year of development. The second act, Forgotten Shores, cost $549,000. Eight team members in London. So it's interesting. But the total revenue, $5.8 million. So they made almost $5 million on that game in a year. Eight people, $5 million. It sounds like a pretty good deal. This is what I find interesting. Did you complete it?
What? Monument Valley?
Monument Valley?
No.
No, me neither.
Mm-mm.
Lisa has. Mm. 50% of the players who started the game completed it. And that's probably a very high number.
I would think. Yeah. You'd think the average would be more like 20 or something.
Yeah.
Just because so many. I mean, who is... No one has an attention span anymore.
And only about a quarter bought the next level.
Mm.
So only half the people who completed it perhaps bought the next level.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We love getting your ideas for stuff like this. Whether it's a question, hey, guys, what are some great apps for my kid? Or you have some suggestions for us. It could be any category. Just bring them to our brain center, will you? By doing that, you can, write iPadToday at twit.tv. You can leave us a voicemail at 757-504-iPad. That's our voicemail box. You could send us a video. You could tweet at Leo or I or both of us. Whatever you want to do. You can try to get a job here, and then you can connect through us via Facebook at work.
We're hiring. Got to replace that Sarah Lane.
They're hiring. You already did. You already replaced me.
Oh, yeah.
We
hired Megan.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's good, too.
Good.
Don't you love her?
Well, I'm not surprised that
we
she's
good.
We
know her from Tech TV.
That's
she
right.
was
Megan was one of
one
my
of
very...
our coworkers.
She was one of... Megan, it was... I've worked with her, you know, on camera as long as I've worked with you.
Put your hat on.
All right. Fine. Oh, dear. You've been waiting for this the whole show, haven't you?
Yes, I have. You've worn it before, but you look...
Have I?
Maybe it was me that wore it.
I don't remember wearing
you
this.
You look good as a redhead.
Well, it doesn't really... Okay. There. That's better. Yeah, no, I look great. Nothing better. I look like a merry prankster.
You do.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, as with many of our taller hats, it goes off camera. You can't really see the flowers.
Oh, the... Yeah, no, this is so cute. I mean, nothing about this is creepy or strange. I would actually fit in fine in San Francisco. Like, I wouldn't even bat an eye.
You could walk down Folsom Street in that outfit, and nobody would look twice.
Nobody would look once. You would just be another anonymous, faceless, boring
face
person.
Face in the crowd.
I love it. It's wonderful.
What about me?
I'm quite sure I've never worn it before. No, you look very steampunk.
It's leather. It's a leather top hat.
Okay.
And these are... Dimes. These are 1800 dimes.
1800.
But I mean,
era.
Sorry, nickel. That's an Indian and a buffalo head nickel.
Really?
Shined up to a perfection.
Are you the sheriff? Is the sheriff in town?
Yes, sir.
All right. So this is the part of the show. Good. I'm glad because we're going to need a sheriff for this section of the show.
Yes,
this is
sir.
Part of the show where Leo and I wear hats that humiliate us, but we do it with pleasure. And glee, because these are the AppCap Awards, so these are our AppCaps that go on our heads. And I'm going to start, and I'm excited about this because, as Leo always points out, almost in a way, as if it shouldn't be this way, is that I love the game Dots.
You're a little obsessed there, Lane.
Well, you know, I like what I like. The heart wants what it wants, as Selena Gomez once said.
That's right.
And I like Dots. So when I saw a game called Logic Dots that was in the App Store, I just ran across it by accident.
Of course you did.
I thought to myself, hey, self. Heck. This seems like something that you might be interested in. Now, of course, it's in portrait mode, so let me go ahead and launch it up. No, come on now. I already did this. Oh, don't you dare. I do not want to do this again. Tutorial 1-3. Yeah. God. Okay, so it's still, for some reason, I got reset. But what you're doing is, you are progressively going through levels where you're trying to match up dots based on the numbers that are outside this grid. And so, for example, and if it's a zero to block... a square, then that's just a single tap. Okay, so single tap, double tap. Yep. Oh, God, I just did this morning. Okay, so Does that make sense? Sort of. Let's do another one. See, of course it gets harder, right? So we've got 0, and then we've got 1, 1, 1. So I know that this column is going to have to be 1, right? But not in this column, because that's all 0, right? Find the three-dot shape.
Three-dot shape.
1, 2, 3. Dun, dun, dun. Excellent work,
These games are so mean because they are so easy in the tutorial. Then they go, good, you did great. Now, good luck.
Yeah, now you're screwed.
Yeah, 4x4 pack. 1.
Okay, doke.
4, that's easy.
Find the dots.
Find the dots.
I know.
Dot.
So we know that one's blocked.
Dot,
0, 0. This one's 2. This one's... but that's got to be 0.
Okay. Oh.
Right.
So this is like Sudoku meets dots or something.
That's right.
Actually, it's more like Minesweeper meets Sudoku. I don't know. This actually looks kind of fun. I might actually play this.
Yeah, see? It's.
You see? You solved it.
I'm having a really hard time explaining this, but I hope that...
How did you do that?
Anybody who's watching... Well, because you're...
Like she's speaking a foreign language.
No, it's just a grid, right?
Yeah.
If there's a 0, that's easy, because you know there can never be any dots in this row. So it's just process of elimination, you know? There are 4 here, so this has to be all 4 of them. Then this is 1. Okay. This is 2. This is 2. Wait a second. Did I do that right? Now I'm... Oh, no.
You're trapped.
Oh, wait. No. Got it. Done.
She's
I'm not
amazing.
Trapped. I'm amazing. Anyway,
that's a great game
this
for...
This game is called Logic Dots.
Children.
I love it. Why do I love it so much?
No, actually, I'm going to download that. That's my kind of game.
It's not really like the other dots game that I always play.
It's got math.
But it is free. It reminds me of something that I would have done in school, you know, manually with a pencil. And I love it. And, you know.
I'm definitely downloading
this. You know.
Logic Dots.
The dad who wrote in, hey, give your kid Logic Dots.
I think a 7-year-old could be the beginning of something big.
It's fun.
And by the way, somebody in the chat was saying, oh, I feel really stupid looking at this.
Well, you should not. It's a brain thing.
You'll get it.
Yeah.
It's like you just have to get it, download it, and play it. It's free, right?
Yeah, it's free. Yeah. Remember, anytime you see a 0, you just block out that entire column.
Huh?
And you just eventually fill it up. It makes me really happy. I want to take algebra.
Wow.
I'm going to do it at lynda.com.
Here's a game for those of you... That feels stupid, like me.
Okay.
Watching Sarah play this game. Do you like wrestling?
Okay.
You like the WWE?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
Right.
Do you like
anything
like combat games, like Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombat.
Then you're gonna love
Street Fighter.
WWE Immortals.
Okay.
Wouldn't you like to play The Rock in a head-to-head combat game?
I would like to just go to dinner with him.
Well, this doesn't involve dinner. This involves
it could be a
Mortal Kombat-y kind of. You're playing 3 wrestlers against 3. There's good ones. There's bad ones, just as there is in the WWE. It has a pretty good combat scheme. If you like games like Mortal Kombat, I think you'll like this a lot. You can play online. This is free with in-app purchases. But the truth is, and I really don't ever like to recommend a game that's going to cost you a lot of money. There's The Rock, by the way. This you can play this without ever buying anything, and you'll be perfectly happy. Yeah! Swipe left to perform heavy attacks. Boom, 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 boom. Heavy attacks are slow but cause more damage. Take that, you insane person. So you've got three players. It's tag team, so you can tag somebody in. Oh, nice. Look at that. And you even can... the composition of your team is going to make a difference in... How you play. Boom, boom, boom. This is fun. You have to be the kind of person who likes the head-to-head combat games.
And this is kind of mindless, right?
It's totally mindless.
It's almost,
If you liked Infinity Blade, if you liked Mortal Kombat, you'll like this. But there are some interesting game mechanics. Tap your first signature attack icon. Whoops, not pause. your signature attack icon. Power bomb. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Rapid swipe.
Boom.
Oh, that's not nice.
Not nice at all. Not keep fighting nice. And gain full adrenaline. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, he's hitting me. I don't like it when he hits me. I'm going to hit him some more.
Yeah,
plus, you get to play people like John Cena and The Rock, real wrestlers from WWE.
Swipe down.
Swipe down?
Yeah. Well, you should have. It was telling you to before.
Oh, no.
Somebody's, like, dying.
Yeah,
oh,
this
gosh.
Is called my kill move.
Oh, on a pentagram.
I am victorious.
Wow. I'm not sure this is appropriate for all seven-year-olds. Please. Parental guidance suggested.
Oh, kids love this stuff.
Well, of course they do.
Kids love this stuff.
I never liked wrestling when I was a kid, but
and
I
again,
didn't have access to things
there
like
are
this.
In-app purchases because you're going to earn coins as you play and so forth.
What's the name of it?
It's Immortals. WWE Immortals. You get to play your favorite wrestlers. All of them together at last. You can create your own team. It's better if you put all the good people together or all the bad people together. Don't mix good and bad. That's always scary. You're going to like it. It's if you like, you saw enough now to understand whether you're going to like this game or not.
Well, and it's kind of like,
don't
whereas
play it in
the
church.
WWE I always found very campy. Like, these are like, they're not real people. They're
well,
creatures.
There have been, you know, going
so
back
to. So that's kind of different. Like a fantasy thing.
Going back to the days of Sega Genesis, people have had there have been always wrestling games.
Yeah.
But most of them were like, in a ring, and it's real wrestling. And it's like, no, this is much more fun. Let's have, you know, special effects and fire and evil, and it's fun that way.
Well, you know what? I think that this was a very successful show.
Let's brawl.
All the food groups were represented.
Yes, indeed.
We've got accessibility. We had Leo had a game. I found Logic Dots, which was like, sometimes I don't like the games that I find, and I really like that one. So that was pleasant. Google's got all sorts of apps. I mean, this was a show for the ages. Really, really. Episode 232, which is a palindrome, by the way. See, that's why. It's
oh,
like
you love
moon.
The palindrome show.
It's like a full moon out here. It's been a good one. And Leo and I will be back next week. We record the show on Saturdays now. If you're watching on demand, then, well,
boom.
Whatever. Guess what? That's what we're doing. But if you can watch us live, please do. We record the show after Leo finishes The Tech Guy on Saturdays, about 2 p.m. Pacific time.
Rapid swipe.
And Leo will continue to go for the kill. And I'm going to go ahead and say, thanks for watching and listening to iPad Today. We'll see you next week.
Oh!